Attention, attention all personnel. It's MASHcast.
Hello and welcome to MASHcast, the show that analyzes and celebrates episode by episode the greatest TV series of all time, MASH, which aired on CBS from 1972 to 1983. Proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, General Robert Iron Guts Kelly, and joining us this week in the VIP tent is returning guest, Chief Surgeon Ange. Hi, Ange.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's nice to have you back here for season three. Well, of course, you were already here for the Adam's Rib episode with Dan Greenfield. But this time, it's just you and me for, of course, season three, episode 18, House Arrest. The original air date was February 4th, 1975. Now, you will all learn why Ange is on this specific episode very shortly once I get to the description. This episode was written by Jim Fritzell and Everett Greenbaum and directed by the always dependable High Averback. Margaret is making a lot of mistakes in the OR, which is unusual. Turns out she's nervous about the impending arrival of a Colonel Reese, a highly decorated nurse. When Hawkeye dismisses Margaret after one too many mistakes, she is furious. She berates Hawkeye in the scrub room, but after he insinuates that she got where she is by sleeping around, Margaret demands Frank defend her honor. Frank's idea of that is to snap a towel at Hawkeye's butt, leading to Hawkeye belting Frank right in the eye. Frank then goes to Henry, demanding a court-martial. Henry tries to talk him out of it, but Frank insists on going through with the paperwork. When Radar mentions that while the paperwork is being processed, the accused is under house arrest, meaning all Hawkeye gets to do is sleep, eat, and read. Hawkeye quickly confesses and places himself under arrest. Later that night, Colonel Reese, played by the great Mary Wicks, arrives, and she's not what Margaret expected. Irreverent, flirty, and even a little foul-mouthed, Reese moves into Margaret's tent, causing Frank no end of frustration. As Henry works on the court-martial, everyone in camp tries to make Hawkeye's house arrest more palatable. Father Mulcahy brings him a Red Cross package, the cook sends him a steak in thanks for punching Frank, and they even show that night's movie in the swamp so Hawkeye can see it. With the swamp filled to capacity, Frank angrily wanders the camp, eventually running into Colonel Reese in Margaret's tent. Reese then puts the moves on Frank, offering him a promotion for a role in the hay. He sort of goes along, but when Margaret walks in on them, Reese starts yelling, "Rape!" That draws a crowd, and Reese insists on leveling charges. When Hawkeye says he doesn't want Frank sharing his house arrest, Margaret offers, "You're innocent, Captain. He slipped on a bar of soap." Later, we see that Frank is under house arrest, and of course Hawkeye, now a free man, can't resist rubbing it in Frank's face. So, the one thing I did mention in my synopsis is the name of the movie that they are showing in the tent. And in this case, it is 1945's Leave Her to Heaven, starring...
Gene Tierney, of course.
There you go. As everyone knows, Ange loves Gene Tierney in so many different ways. And right at the outset of season three, I knew this episode could only go to Dr. Ange, because what are the odds that MASH would feature an appearance by the great Gene Tierney?
And not only that, but in a movie that you and I have covered over on Film and Water.
That's right. It's a strange thing, because for many years, when I would watch this episode and I was not as familiar with films as I later became, I always assumed that the movie they were watching was Laura, because I was familiar with that film, because you see Gene Tierney and you see Vincent Price, both of whom are in Laura, and it's in black and white, which Laura is. But as you just said, the film that they're watching is the 1945 film noir Leave Her to Heaven, which is in color. And that's a weird detail in that I guess that the 477, that the movies that the Army provides are just black and white prints. I guess that's cheaper. So you don't get to see the film in glorious Technicolor. But for many years, I never made the connection, because I knew that Leave Her to Heaven was in color, and the movie they were showing in MASH was black and white. So I was like, well, that must be Laura. But of course, it is not. It's Leave Her to Heaven, which is an odd choice to show the troops at 477, because it's kind of a dark movie.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, again, when I was watching MASH back then, I was just starting to get interested in movies. So I had no idea really who Gene Tierney was at that time. But I can remember that in seeing this episode, which you saw many times on reruns, this seemed like it was like a romantic comedy, some lighthearted, right. Some lighthearted thing. And so then when I saw Leave Her to Heaven later on in life, I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't jibe at all with the way that these guys were responding to it in MASH. In fact, I think that the MASH scenes that they show are out of order.
Yes, they are.
So, you know, when, like, Father McKee is like, well, you know, like, that guy was coveting his neighbor's wife, I'm like, this is just so bizarre. But it is Jean Tierney in all her glory. So, you know, I was very happy when you asked me to do this because I get to talk about her more.
Right. And much like you, Hawkeye loves Jean Tierney. He refers to two different times about how much he loves her overbite.
Yeah.
Which is something he's very, very – I mean, look, everyone – Jean Tierney is one of the most beautiful women ever to appear in movies. And she lives particularly radiant in Leave Her to Heaven, even though she's a complete psychopath in the film. But you're right. You wouldn't – if you only knew the movie through the MASH episode, you would think it's some sort of soapy, sudsy melodrama, not a kind of – really dark film noir kind of thing. But nevertheless, that's the film they showed. I mean, Leave Her to Heaven is a Fox film. It's a 20th Century Fox movie, of course, now owned by Disney, which is MASH. So I think it was probably, I guess, you know, easy for them to get a Fox film, although I think Laura's from Fox as well. So they could have gotten that one as well. It said, I would love to know the reasoning as to why they picked that film to show in the episode. It just seems like a very obscure choice. I don't think I'd ever even heard of Leave Her to Heaven until I saw that Martin Scorsese documentary, The Personal Journey, where he talks about it. I didn't even know about it before then, but it's again, I would love to know who decided. But it's a fun piece of verisimilitude to see the MASH crew kind of do a Mystery Science Theater thing for this movie, of kind of talk over it and go back, you know, and make little comments here and there. It's a fun little thing. And of course, I love that everyone loves Hawkeye so much that when they realize he can't watch the movie, well, they bring the movie to him. Like, it's really sweet.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, of all of the things that happen around this movie in that scene, you know, they show her basically confessing to Cornell Wilde that she shouldn't have gone out swimming with his invalid brother, which we know, if you've seen the movie,
right,
is like she has let him drown. She has led him to drown.
Such a dark scene.
Right? It's such a dark scene. And then in MASH, when she's like, I knew I shouldn't have let him go swimming. I know, of course, she killed him, basically. They show Colonel Blake crying. Right, yes. Because he's like so affected by the fact that, you know, she sounds in that scene as if there's some remorse, and for Hawkeye to say, you know, he's very deep as he's crying, eating Frankfurt, it's like, that's such a strange reaction when you've actually seen the movie and you know that she kept like telling the guy to swim farther, knowing he was going to drown. So
it's so dark.
It's just such a strange thing. But like you say, since I know Leave Her to Heaven so well, it just adds this very strange, almost like Twilight Zone feel to that particular scene.
It really does. And overall, I think this is really one of the funniest episodes of season three, and that's saying something. This whole notion of Hawkeye, I mean, we get to see Hawkeye throw a punch, which you really don't ever get to see in any other context. And I have to say, he throws a good punch. Alan Alda throws a good punch. Like, he really looks like he belts Frank. I love that scene where he chastises Margaret and, you know, like I said, he insinuates that the reason she's even a major is because she sort of slept around. And she's like, you know, Major Burns, you need to defend my honor. And I love that Frank's version of defending Margaret's honor is snapping a towel like a kid from high school. And there's such a great moment where while that's going on, and this is something I've only noticed until you watch it 1,000 times, watch Trapper during that whole exchange. Because Burns says, McIntyre, step aside. And he's making it sound like it's super serious. And then he snaps the towel like a child. And you just see Wayne Rogers almost, I think he's biting his lip to stop from laughing because it's so absurd. And then Hawkeye turns to Trapper and kind of just – they exchange this look, and you don't see what the look is on Hawkeye's face. But you know the Trapper knows what's about to happen. It's – Wayne Rogers was like, he is about to burst. It's so funny. And, of course, he had to know what was happening, but there must be something – just the way it was – the scene played out just made – it made Wayne Rogers just laugh so hard. It's hysterical.
There are two things I'll say. One, as I've listened to you do MASHcast, I have become more cognizant of the fact that a lot of times jokes are said so quickly or almost like rolled over by the rest of the scene that you really have to pay attention. And in particular, Trapper, many times on your show, you'll say something like, and then Trapper says this little thing that maybe you don't know. So after Frank gets belted, Trapper helps Frank up off the floor, and Frank says, get your dirty hands off me. And Trapper goes, I just washed them, right? Because they were just in the scrub room. And so that one little line on top of everything else that you just said about Trapper, I thought was just, that was my second favorite line, maybe my third favorite line of this episode. Go ahead. But what I wanted to ask you was that, like, I know that you're such a big proponent of Hawkeye. As I was watching this to get ready for this, I sort of felt like maybe he was a little bit too harsh on Margaret in the OR, and then maybe a little bit too harsh on her in the scrub room. It seemed a little bit out of character. And then when he punches Frank, that really seems out of character. So what did you make of that? Or did you just think this was just too much? He just had it.
I think he's probably a little mean to Margaret, but I think he's just sort of taking his moment to just I definitely think he's twisting the knife a little bit. I mean, they do show that she's dropping instruments and he's just getting disgusted with her. But yeah, it's a little, I think he was doing it to get Margaret's goat. He knows that Margaret's a good nurse.
Yeah.
They've established that in previous episodes, that even though he doesn't like Margaret necessarily as a person, he thinks she's a good nurse, and he knows that she didn't get to where she is by just sleeping around with generals, although she of course did that as well. But I think he just knows where to hurt her, which is insinuating that's how she got her commission. I will say punching Frank is a little out there. It's sort of funny because, of course, Trapper punches Frank in the movie. So both characters have got a chance to punch Frank at different times. I mean, it is a little severe, but at the same time, it's like, what a ridiculous to snap a towel on his, like, that's just insane. And this thing is just such, the whole episode is heightened comedically. There's just so many kind of crazy things going on. I mean, right after that, we get the introduction of Mary Wicks as Colonel Reese. And that's another reason why this episode is one of my favorites, is because I love Mary Wicks. She is one of the great character actresses of all time. She appeared in one of my all-time favorite Abbott and Costello movies, 1942's Whodunit. She is in one of my all-time favorite movies, period, White Christmas. And she was in films like The Music Man, Trouble with Angels. She was on The Lucy Show, Here's Lucy. She's in the movie Sister Act late in her career. She passed away in 1995. And I love her as Colonel Reese because you're, of course, Margaret's nervous about her and you're expecting her to be this martinet who's kind of, you know, I mean, she's a colonel. Oh, boy. But yet she's like this sort of rambunctious kind of woman. And she talks about, I brought my garter belt because you guys have a dance. And like, there's one point where Hawkeye is being frog marched by the MPs past her, and he hasn't even introduced himself to her, and he just goes, "Don't talk to me, I'm bad." And Colonel Reese like, kind of gives him like the look, like, "Oh, he looks kind of interesting." So it's like, I just love that persona that they gave her to play. That instead of it being what you think, it's she's this kind of crazy, horny old lady, which is like, I don't know what Margaret and Frank are supposed to do with that. And of course, she stays in Margaret's tent, which of course is going to interrupt their sex life. So this, I think this episode is just funny from beginning to end.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when it comes to Colonel Reese. You know, she goes into Margaret's tent for the first time to unpack, and she pulls out of her duffel bag like one of those like spring things that like, you know, Charles Atlas would have you use.
Yeah.
In your arms. And I'm like, what a strange thing for this old woman to have in her bag, right? So you just get a sense that she's a little crazy, right? She's got blackberry brandy. And she has all of these sayings, right? Like, that'd put leg in your Eberhardt Faber, right? And, you know, this thing hasn't been lubed since Pershing was a pup, right? She has all these little quirky phrases that makes me think she probably would have fit in at MASH if she was there, right? She's even got the kimono on at the end.
Yeah. I love Mary Wicks so much. This is probably where I first saw her was on MASH. Maybe I saw her in the Abbott Costello movie first, but then I later on went and saw White Christmas. Now I've just become a huge fan of her. When I see her in a movie, I just get happy because she's going to always deliver a solid comedic performance.
Yeah, it's just from top to bottom great.
Now later on, when Frank's walking around with the bruise and he's lording it over Hawkeye that he's imprisoned, I love that when they deliver the steak, it comes on like on a porcelain plate. And I really don't think a MASH unit has porcelain plates going around, but nevertheless, it's like Hawkeye is treated, and Frank even says he's treated like the Aga Khan because everyone loves Hawkeye so much. And I love that twist that Frank is sort of lording this over Hawkeye, but of course it all winds back on him because everybody's going to, you know, try to make Hawkeye's house arrest as pleasant as possible, and they don't really care about how much it inconveniences Frank. So I just – it's a very warm-hearted episode, like the whole camp, you know, sort of bands together to help Hawkeye through his you know, somewhat turmoil. I just think it's very, very sweet.
Yeah. One of the things that especially since I love Adam's ribs so much, is that when he eats that steak, the exuberance that he gets and it's especially funny when you contrast it to Father Mulcahy, who's just got this quaint little smile, is like, that's quite delicious, right? So
I also love during that scene that Trapper eats most of it.
Yeah.
While Hawkeye's talking to Father Mulcahy about the prisoner of war package, you see it's Trapper is eating most of it. And there's even a line later on where Hawkeye, right at the end of that scene, they button the scene with Hawkeye saying, I hope you enjoyed my steak. And the Trapper just kind of gives them a look of, like, okay, whatever. So I thought all that stuff is fantastic. And the one other thing I didn't mention in terms of the plot is there's a B plot in this episode about Radar ordering shoes with lifts in them. And there's a line where he commissions Klinger to lower his pants, and they're like, why do you want your pants lowered? And he doesn't want to answer that. And he gets these incredibly ostentatious brown leather shoes with lifts on them to make him like a good couple inches taller. And that actually pays up later on in the episode where Radar actually confronts Hawkeye and says, you know, everyone makes fun of me for being short, even you. And then I love Hawkeye's response where he just goes, well, then I was out of line. And he basically, you know, realizes that all these height jokes really bothers Radar, and he's not going to do it again. And the only problem with this is because some of these MASH episodes were shown out of different order than how they were produced, there will be episodes later on this season where Hawkeye still makes fun of Radar's height, even though he promises in this episode that he's never going to do it again. But if you can go and look up the production order, you know that those episodes were written and produced before this one, but this one is apparently was moved further up in the schedule. So Hawkeye even seems even more of a dick than usual because he's still kind of makes fun of Radar, but you have to just kind of forget that. And it's like, oh, okay. We're seeing these a little out of order.
Yeah. It's funny because it is a brief scene in the middle of really what you describe as this comedic mayhem, but it's really a really wonderful scene that when Hawkeye says, I was out of line. And then he says what I thought is not my funniest line, but one of the best lines in the show is he looks at the shoes and he goes, you know, send those to somebody little, right? Like there's more to you than just your height. You don't need those. Send those to somebody who doesn't have the stature that you have in my mind, which is such a great thing to tell Radar at that moment when he's so, you know, feeling down on himself. I mean, Radar gives the great line, you know, do you know what it's like to be short? You know, looking at girls in the throat.
You know? Yeah. So. You're just saying the only parade I've ever seen was the one I was in. He has that line. Yeah. Later on with the scene between Colonel Reese and Frank in Margaret's tent is just fantastic because you're kind of like, you don't know who to root for because Colonel Reese is straight up sexually harassing someone below her, which she's not allowed to do. But of course she's harassing Frank. And so you're not that upset about it because Frank's such a jerk. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, it's wrong. But I love the way that she talks about it, where she's like, how do you like to play the palace? Walter Reed, you know, he's all excited about that. He's like, I could put J. Edgar Hoover's gallstones right in your pocket. And again, I'm going to keep going on about Mary Wicks, but the way that she says, I could put J. Edgar Hoover's gallstones right in your pocket. Like she pops her pee. She really like rings every ounce of comedy out of the moment. And of course, Frank then goes along with it because Frank is awful.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. She promises him a promotion. I don't know if she has that power, but she's like, I've got the Pentagon in the palm of my hand. Like, does she really have the Pentagon in her palm of her hand? Or is this just like her coming on to him by making promises that she can't keep?
Yeah, it's really upsetting. And then now it does lead to a section of the episode that has not aged terribly well, is that Colonel Reese, when Margaret discovers them in the tent, she yells rape. And she pulls her kimono down so it makes it look like she was raped. And, you know, okay, there's that sequence. And you could maybe say, all right, it's we don't make jokes like that nowadays. Like, that doesn't, you know, that it sits uncomfortably, but you can kind of get by. But then it gets worse in that, that there are lines between Hawkeye and Trapper where Trapper even says something awful like, "I've never been to a rape." And Hawkeye says, "Maybe for your next birthday," which is just, you just look at it and you say, yeah, this is just, and these lines, and I think these lines were even sort of looked down upon by Larry Gelbart, who was part of, you know, obviously one of the producers of the show. He looked back on it with some shame. So it's like, that's the only part of this episode I wish wasn't in there, is that the first kind of, I hate to even use this phrase, the first like rape gag with Colonel Reese is okay, I think. But then when they keep going on about it, I just wish that was not in this episode, because I think this episode is perfect except for those lines.
Yeah, and it's sort of strange that she went right there, right? Because she seems like such this huge personality that you think that she would just be like, you know, "What are you doing here, Margaret?" Or, "Why don't you join in, Margaret?" Right? So
yeah,
it's just it is. And like you say, it is kind of a little bit cringeworthy looking at this from the eye of 2020.
Yeah, it just like, we're all a little too casual about this. Again, the only reason any of these scenes, like any of the times that Margaret's been sort of harassed, is because the reason you kind of get away with this is because, you know, Margaret is so in command at any moment. That there's never any threat to her in any real way. And so you could feel that way about Reese too, because she's obviously setting Frank up entirely. So aside from that little bit, the rest of it, again, I think is a really perfect episode. There are a couple of little things I wanted to mention. When Radar is doing the report with Henry about the court-martial, they start arguing over what sound effects to use.
Yeah.
Where they talk about Bam and Sacco. And at one point, I think it's Radar that offers Bam. And Henry goes, "That's two Moon Mullins," which was a comic strip that ran from 1923 to 1991. So that was square in Henry's sort of pop culture memory at that point. And then when Margaret is talking about Colonel Reese, Hawkeye asks Margaret, "What is he, another root canal wizard from Passaic?" Which is, of course, meant to be derogatory. Passaic, New Jersey is the hometown of Loretta Swit. So I don't know whether they picked that town just to, as a random, just because it sounds a little, you know, just not terribly impressive, or it was just a little bit of a nod to Margaret overall. But, I mean, I think this episode is just such a, like, beautifully, wonderfully comic energy to it, from the guest performance by Mary Wicks, and just the whole situation of the getting to see Hawkeye punch Frank, and the house arrest, which is again a nice sort of thing, was that everybody gets the credit. You get to see the whole unit crowd into the swamp and watch the movie, and as we talked about, you get to see Gene Tierney in a MASH episode.
That scene with Gene Tierney has my second favorite line in the episode, which is, like you said earlier, when Hawkeye says about Cornell Wilde, "If he straightens out her overbite, I'll kill him."
So. Okay, I think we talked about this in the Leave Her to Heaven episode, but like, where did this fandom for her start? Like, what did you first see her in that rang such a bell with you?
To be honest with you, I think the first time that I saw her was in The River's Edge. No, not The River's Edge.
Oh, The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge, excuse me. There's a scene where she is trying to lure the main character, hoping that
Larry Darrell, played Tyrone Power,
played by Tyrone, trying to, like, hopefully make it so that he will marry her. And she's in this shoulderless black evening gown with black gloves up to the elbow, and she walks down this staircase in a way that, I don't know, should not be humanly possible. I have no other way to say it. And so that's just crazy. And then I saw Laura, I think, shortly thereafterwards. And one of the things that I know in Laura was that the first time you see her, she's basically wearing the hat and coat of, like, the Gorton fisherman. Because she's coming in out of a rainstorm. So this enormous yellow, like, slicker and huge hat. To quote Shag, you know, she still looks really hot. And it's like, boy, like, if she can make the Gorton fisherman's gear look hot, like there's just, right, she's the end-all be-all. I've told the story that, like, at one point I was watching a movie with her in it on Turner Classic, and I looked to my daughters and I said, you know, if I was a kid in the 50s, I would have had a Gene Tierney poster on my wall. And my daughters are old enough that they looked at me and they were like, what are we supposed to do with that information, Dad? I don't know why you felt that you needed to tell us that. And so
Now, we've gone on to do, I think, what, 3 Gene Tierney movies over on Film and Water? We did Leave Her to Heaven, and we did Where the Sidewalk Ends, and we did Whirlpool.
And we did Whirlpool.
Right? Have we done another one?
No, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Okay. There's
more to do. We never even gotten to Laura yet, which is sort of the big one, ironically enough. And funny, Laura is directed by Otto Preminger, and Otto Preminger's The Moon is Blue would form the basis of an entire episode in season 11. So they really got a thing for Otto Preminger on the show. But anyway, so we're turning this into the Gene Tierney hour. But anyway, like I said, overall, I think this is just such a great episode. It's really funny from beginning to end, and then you've got that side story with Radar and feeling insecure about being short, and I love all that. I love, by the way, that other line that Hawkeye says. I love that when Frank comes into Radar's office and he notices something's wrong, but he can't put his finger on it, and he's like, new glasses, that's it, and Klinger laughs because it's like, Frank's such an idiot. But I love that Hawkeye picks it up immediately. When he sees Radar, and he goes, Radar, what's happened? He's like, happened, sir? And he goes, either you've been raised or the camp's been lowered.
Yeah.
It's just a great line. So I love that he picks up on that. Hawkeye doesn't miss a trick. It's just overall fantastic episode. So we've been talking about favorite lines, but you haven't got to your – what was your favorite Joker line from the episode?
So in that scene in Henry's office where they're talking about the court-martial, and then Klinger comes in to say that he has lowered the hem on Radar's pants by 3 inches. Now, this is like a serious scene because, you know, Hawkeye could be court-martialed. This is not something to laugh at. And Henry in all of it looks at Klinger and says, Klinger, it's 4 p.m. and you're still in a house coat. Put on a dress. You know? he's so upset that. And then he looks and he goes, you really have to stay on top of these guys, right? Like, it's just so ridiculous in the context of everything else. I just think that is the best line. I laugh out loud every time I see that line.
I gotta tell you, that's what I had in my notes as my favorite joke, was the way that he commiserates with Trapper. Put on, you never know who might be coming around. Put on a house coat. Yeah. Well, you got to stay on top of these guys every second. He's just so frustrated.
It's so funny.
McLean Stevenson, man, he, I mean, of course, we're watching these shows episode by episode and kind of going through them on a granular level. You're going to get an appreciation for different things. But, man, it's Wayne Rogers and McLean Stevenson. They were so good on this show, and it is. I don't want to say it's a shame that they didn't stay with it, because I think, you know, as much as I love these characters, I think they were replaced by. I think the show got better with their replacements, and you know, the show. This, you can't keep doing the same show forever. It might have gotten a little old if it had been the same characters, and neither Wayne Rogers nor McLean Stevenson really ever matched. This show in terms of the notoriety, but boy, were they great in this, because it's just the way that McLean Stevenson is able to wring a laugh out of that line. You got to stay on top of these guys. He's just so frustrated, and he has no sense of what he's saying.
Yeah.
He has no idea how ridiculous that sounds, that what he's mad about is that one of his people in his command won't wear a dress. He just has no, you know, it's like, that's how crazy the 47th has become. That there's just no commenting upon.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite line, which is not the joke, is when Radar returns to the swamp because he's delivering some food for Frank, which is again very sweet because Frank is now under house arrest, and Hawkeye takes a look at Radar and he sees that he's in his combat boots and he just says, "Much better, Radar." And again, another great line, just the way that Alan Alda quietly just says that.
Yeah.
You know, he's just much better, Radar. And it's very sweet and very fatherly or big brotherly. And it's a great – I just love that little payoff to that scene. It's just really, really sweet. So overall, like I said, there's a great line that's a serious line, and there's a great line that's a joke line. Overall, this is one of my favorite episodes. I just think House Arrest is just a classic from beginning to end.
Yeah, and I can't thank you enough for inviting me, because it got so much of me sort of woven all through it.
Yes, absolutely it does. Unfortunately, this is it for Gene Tierney and MASH, but you'll come back for season 4. Don't worry about that. So, well, awesome. Again, thank you so much for stopping by, Anne, just as your second appearance on MASHcast for season 3. So, of course, we'll have you back for season 4. So, in the meantime, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the internet?
Well, I'm most active on Twitter at DrAnge70, where I talk about Supergirl comics, old movies like ones that star Gene Tierney, and people nonsense. And I run a Supergirl fan site called Comic Box Commentary.
Absolutely. So, of course, if you want to follow this show, go to the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com, and you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we're always talking MASH over on Twitter at MASH477Cast. We do need to thank our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the Fire & Water Podcast Network, you just go to patreon.com/FW Podcast, and there you can unlock various rewards, one of which is to be name-checked on a show of your choice. So a big salute to Adam Sanders, Nicholas Prom, Russell Burbage, Stan Peel, Suzanne Holland, and for the month of August, Tim Price, for their support of MASHcast. Thank you so much, everybody. And until next week, that is all.
Listen, honey, take it from an old campaigner. It's those dumb-looking quiet ones with the clenched teeth that really go. I'm back in the saddle again.